From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
A former police officer who believes in an interdisciplinary, interfaith approach to tear down fences and open doors. She currently teaches African American and U.S. religious history at Howard in the School of Divinity. Dr. Renee K. Harrison is my guest today, and I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here today, Dr. Frederick.
So you're originally from Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
Okay. And from what I understand, you were a police officer. Why don't you tell me about that experience?
Yeah, I was a police officer from 1984 to 1996. Worked several different capacities, recruitment, undercover narcotics, the burglary detail.
84 to 96 would have been a difficult time with crime in L.A. as well. So.
Yes, it was right at the heart of Rodney King and the large earthquake in California. So it was right in the midst of many things that were going on in California region and throughout the world.
Right. Now, given where we are currently in society with our concerns about police, mm-hmm. policing in general in our African-American communities, what's your perspective about that?
I come with an interesting perspective in that I was involved in law enforcement, but then I'm also very active in the community. So I can see both sides of the story. But I think for the most part, brutality in relation to the police department will never be eradicated until there is some sense of external responses to police actions by way of there's a tendency for the police to check itself by internal affairs through the district attorney's office. There is no external entity to investigate or check and balance police practices. So until external assessment is done, it will continue, I think, to the degree that it is.
Right. You know, that's interesting because, as you say, you have, you know, you see two sides of the coin. My dad was a police officer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unfortunately died a month before my third birthday. So sometimes when I hear these stories, mm-hmm. I often wonder, you know, what would he do? What would his perspective be? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. Now, you are an artist, a poet, and a playwright, mm-hmm. and you've combined those skills to run a community-based theater company in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Along with that, at Howard University, you've also directed and produced something called God's Trombones Revisited. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that play and also the rest of your work in terms of how you incorporate this into your current activity?
Okay. Well, in some ways, I can tell you how I came to theater. It was a result of, I remember when I was about 13, 14 years old, might have been younger. I was watching, my parents took me to see Stephanie Mills and The Wiz. I was so excited. I wonder what Stephanie Mills is doing now. But anyway, I was watching Stephanie Mills and The Wiz, and I said, that's it, right there. That's what I want to do. I want to be a playwright. So my dad, growing up in South Central Los Angeles, not many means, but my parents understood how to make use of resources. So I began to do community theater with the kids in the neighborhood, and my father built all the set designs. My mom, she did all the costumes, and I began to have a series of theater productions, and I would write, produce, and direct different plays, and they were designed to promote and empower the community. And so that just kind of segued when I started doing police work. I used the police work as the backward frame to do theater, to fund the resources, to both human and financial resources. And I began to do a series of theater productions, and it ended up evolving into a nonprofit theater company called The Leap of Faith. When I came to decide to do doctoral studies, it just felt like a good marriage to bring theater into academics. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm taking classical pieces like James Weldon Johnson's God's Trombones, and I'm reworking that into a 21st century frame so that it's relevant for the communities today. And I'm creating pushbacks against what Weldon has offered, because his pieces are basically mainline, traditional, you know, kind of early 19th century understanding of Black religious thought. And I'm pushing back against that with a bit of a feminist lens and a bit of a more extensive lens of seeing the world beyond these kind of limited understandings of Christianity, and pushing it to really beyond religion and to find ways for us to find transformative power outside of these kind of hegemonic or oppressive paradigms by which religion operates sometimes.
Are you using students in your production?
I'm using students. My production manager is a student, and then I'm involving Howard University students, Howard players, and then the DeVinci School students. And so we're pretty much active.
Now, in terms of your audiences, tell me a little bit about the audiences who are coming to this, because as I'm sure you would argue, you know, you can take the folks to church, but it's another thing to have them leave with the religion. So
yeah, well, the play is designed to kind of shatter these kind of normative understandings of religion, and I'm not really one of those that lays claim to kind of a normative understanding of religion. So the audience is really eclectic, people who are staunch believers and people who have no faith whatsoever. And I like that. I like the kind of range and the pushbacks that I offer to James Weldon Johnson are interfaith and non-religious pushbacks anyway. So the audience tends to be eclectic, and the responses vary. Some people are in uproar and some people are in high exclamation of what we're doing.
All right. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Renee K. Harrison. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, just to switch gears a bit, I want to talk a little bit about your education and how you see contemporary religious education. Mm-hmm. You've got a Master of Divinity and a Master of Arts in Religious Education from the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, a PhD in religion from Emory, and did your postdoc fellowship in religious practices and practical theology at Emory University in Atlanta. So clearly, well steeped in religious education. Mm-hmm. What is your perspective of the contemporary state of religious education in our country today, and especially within the African-American community?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to answer that, let me give a little context of what brought me to religion. I'm a historian by nature, and I realize, because I'm so committed to the African-American past, especially within the enslavement tradition, American slavery, I'm so committed to that genre of literature, that I realized quickly that in order to understand African-American religious history, I had to understand the religious identities of African-Americans. Because for the most part, we're people of faith, of various faith traditions, various faith expressions. So because that was so important to me, I went through the process of religion, because I didn't exclaim myself to be a religious person. So I understood that I had to understand the tools of the people in order to create practices that would best help communities in crisis. And that's what really brought me to seminary. It was being a part of the police department, realizing that I needed some more strategies to kind of respond to some of the systemic realities within the community. And so for the most part, if I can be blunt, I think religion, in terms of, I would say, even the Black church, has missed the mark. Divinity schools have missed the mark. The paradigms of divinity schools at the turn of the Civil War were necessary because of where we were in the country. But now it's 2015. I'm not sure if divinity schools are relevant. Now, I know I'll get a lot of pushback on that, but I think that the world is evolving, and because we're in an evolving world, the divinity schools need to be more reflective of religious traditions and religious expressions.
I want to explore that a little further, because I think it's an interesting concept and an interesting train of thought, because I guess one of the things that I would say, not as pushback, mm-hmm. but to have you mature that train of thought, when you analyze what the school's purpose is, mm-hmm. does that then have an impact? Because are you really trying to add clergy, or are you trying to expand the experience of existing clergy, or are you really, really trying to have an academic discussion about religion?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it depends on the mission and the model of the various divinity schools. I think Howard University has one of the best divinity schools because it's geared towards the training of African-American religious leaders, not necessarily geared towards training preachers. And I think it becomes a witness to educate persons on the outside or even within Howard University to not see it geared towards just being a church school. But there are some theoretical presuppositions that outline the divinity school's existence, which ranges from ethics to theology to history to many different areas that affect not just Black people, but humans across the terrain. So it's a matter of, we have Islamic studies. I myself do a course on global feminist thought and healing practices, which range from Buddhism to Hinduism to Islamic healing practices to Christian to folk healing practices that were very much a part of the African-American diasporic identity. So it ranges. It's not just within a Christian paradigm.
So, again, I have to tell you, I'm extremely fascinated, because I think when I look at the breadth, again, of where we are today, and as I think of interdisciplinary opportunities, mm-hmm. do you think that also is a good platform to explore this? Because based on what you just described, I see my school of social work getting involved. I see my school of business getting involved. I see my school of law getting involved. What's your perspective about that?
The school dies. I mean, just as simple as that. The reality is an interdisciplinary model in the 21st century is the way to go. I mean, it is the way to go because Black people are interdisciplinary people. Human beings are interdisciplinary people. They're not compartmentalized in one frame of thought or existence. So an interdisciplinary study towards faith, towards understanding faith, and towards having interdisciplinary theories that inform one's faith or inform how one theorizes about faith is essential.
Right. Well, I think as I look at this and I look at, the playwright notion and having students involved, and we spoke a little bit about the audience. I think to close, as you bring all of that around and I look at your publications on rituals and healings and the legacy and voices of former enslaved Africans, any last thoughts about that diasporic nature of what mm-hmm. it is we do and what it is you have focused on that you think also can be applied in the broader scheme of what we're trying to do at Howard University?
Howard University has always been in a unique position since its foundation, even up until now, that in a way there is the opportunity for us as an institution to progress by way of taking serious the past and those that have contributed to that past, and then how do we build from that to extract the best practices of the past and the ones that are not so good to leave them alone and to move forward in that vein. I'm not sure if I got to your question.
No, I think you absolutely did. I would say amen, but that again would be too that would be too one-dimensional, I think, for the breadth of what we've discussed today. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Renee Harrison. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
Hey, it's your girl Shirley Strawberry here. Now check it out. You know, for the first 12 minutes of the show, Steve will give you words of inspiration. He'll give you words of hope, words to uplift you, words that will help you make it through another day. Then after that, well, the other Steve Harvey comes out. And you just never know what's going to happen or what he might say. So join the ride and hold on, everyone. Every weekday morning at 6, it is the Steve Harvey Morning Show right here on 96.3 WHUR.